Okay, so I think we're now going to go over to Peter Turvitt, who is going to read to us.
Thank you. We're reading from Psalm number 103, Psalm 103, Psalm of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or pay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Thanks be to God for his wonderful and glorious word. Let's just come now and pray as Peter brings a message from God's word to us. O Heavenly Father, we pray that today you would open our eyes, that we will see wonderful things in your word about how great and how wonderful you are. What a mighty God you are, so mighty and powerful to redeem us and cleanse us. But you alone are God, and we pray that as Peter now unfolds this psalm and the glorious and wonderful character of the Lord our God, Lord, we pray that you give to Peter, Lord, your Holy Spirit, clarity and power, that each of us, Lord, may see something of your wonder and your glory, that truly we may together worship and praise your holy name, because you are so great and so good, and so wonderful and so kind. Lord, hear us and help us now, we pray, and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We're going to begin a new series today, and it's a series of six messages which we're looking really at the theme of unshakable realities for unshakable believers. I want to be a believer who stands firm. And I know if you're a Christian believer, you want to be someone who stands firm, who is able to trust the Lord, even in difficult times. in many ways like a mighty earthquake. COVID-19 has shaken the ground beneath our feet, hasn't it? We assumed there were things that we assumed we could count on, like going to work and meals together with family and friends and weddings and holidays that simply can't happen because of the situation that we find ourselves. Those things that we considered permanent fixtures, like football, like the Olympics, like Wimbledon, have been cancelled and postponed. Everyday life has changed for everyone so dramatically. We're doing things now that we never imagined that we do, things like washing our vegetables or spraying them with disinfectant before we eat them. We're standing 6 feet from friends, wondering if the person walking towards us carries a deadly killer disease. And there's many things that we're not doing that we always thought we would be doing, like gathering together in physical person at church, visiting extended family, commuting to work. Financial security no longer seems as secure as it once was. Jobs we thought were safe have disappeared. And school, children probably never imagined the time would come when you'd be doing school at home, but that's how it is. The one thing we assumed was as sure as taxes is now being conducted online in our homes, and parents are having to quickly read up on the basics of maths and English and the sciences. And then for some of us, our loved members of our families and friends are very, very sick, and some have died. Now, why is it that earthquakes, going back to that first illustration, why is it that earthquakes are so scary and dangerous? Well, it's because they shake us. It shakes what we thought was unshakable and firm. COVID-19 has shaken our assumptions, hasn't it? It's hit hard the things that we took for granted. The things that we thought were immovable and permanent no longer seem so. And many of us are struggling. We're off balance. We're disorientated. We're uncertain. We're lonely and we're grieving. And that's why at a time like this, it's particularly important that we celebrate the things that COVID-19 can't touch. We're going to think about these unshakable realities for unshakable believers. There are unchanging, unshakable realities that haven't changed, because according to the Bible, they can't and they never will change. These things that were true before coronavirus came along will remain true long after and forever. They're like massive pillars sunk down into the deep eternal bedrock. They're realities on which we can stand and which we can live our lives with confidence when everything else has been shaken and shattered. And that's why over these weeks we want to think about six things that haven't changed. We're going to look at scriptures that can speak into our deepest fears and anxieties. Because here in the Bible, we find rock solid truths on which we can live our lives. Precious truths to hold us steady and firm, whatever the challenges, whatever the future holds. And why is this so important? Well, because resting in these unshakable realities produces unshakable Christians. And while we acknowledge the pain and the struggle of living in this day in which we live, we can trust what God is saying to us through these things. And it's what people need to see in us as well. It's what the people around us whose lives are being shaken, they need to see that we have a rock on which we can stand. The first thing that we're going to consider this morning, then, is that we have an unshakable, unchanging God. Perhaps as we see everything changing around us, maybe we think God has changed too. Maybe we think God has turned against us. Maybe his love has failed. Maybe his patience has given up on us. Well, the Bible says that the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are unchanging in their character. They don't change in their purpose, in their holiness, in righteousness, in glory. God's character firstly, is unchanging. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? That the character of God doesn't change. There are many places in the Bible where we see God's character described. But one of the most concise and powerful is in the Lord's own description. You might remember that at the beginning of our service, Matthew read part of this to us. It's there in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. We read these words, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. And yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children to their and their children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. And this is God's own description of himself. And at the heart of that description, there's mercy and compassion. He shows astonishing grace and love to undeserving people. People who've repented or turned from their sin. Who've turned to him in true faith and trust. And in steadfast love, he doesn't give us what we deserve, but he consistently forgives and determines to work out his sovereign purposes in their lives. His love is like an inexhaustible stream. He's slow to anger. John Piper puts it like this: if God's anger had a trigger, his love would not last one day. If rockets of wrath shot out from God's eyes every time I sinned, I would be blown to smithereens even before I got out of bed in the morning. But he shouts on Mount Sinai, I'm slow to anger. He holds back his wrath, but by the reins of his love. His long-suffering is extraordinarily patient. And so he keeps steadfast love. He guards it and preserves it by being slow to anger. But we might say, is God always like this? What about when I mess up? What if COVID-19 smashes my world apart? In Malachi 3, verse 6, we read this. The Lord says, I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. His will, his purposes, his character is unchanging. In theology, we call this the immutability of God. Now, all of our lives consist in ups and downs, don't they? Joys and disappointments. One week or one month or one year, everything seems great, but then trouble piles into our lives and we face health issues and financial struggles or relationship difficulties. Perhaps COVID-19 will affect your family. How do you cope? Well, not by wishful thinking. That's what the world does. But we remind ourselves of the unchanging character of God, because that's how we rise above our changing feelings and circumstances. In the New Testament, James, the brother of the Lord, he writes this. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That's James chapter 1. And verse 17. Those who experience these experiences in our lives that can so easily set us all at sea and shake us to the core, they don't have any impact upon God. He'll never be stronger or weaker. His wisdom and knowledge don't increase or decrease. God never has to compromise or change his values to fit the new situation. He never has to call on plan B or C. He never has mood swings. Life and its uncertainties, of course, will shake us. But the God of ages, the rock of ages, will not change. That's why we as believers can come to him with confidence and assurance. It's why we can cling to him and know that he'll never let us go. His strength will sustain us. In Psalm 102, the psalmist is in a place of real deep distress. Everything is piling in on him. He's terrified. His world has been shattered. And in the psalm, he compares our fragile human existence to the unchanging character and nature of God. Verse 3, he says this, for my days pass away like smoke. Verse 11, my days are like an evening shadow. You blink, in other words, and it's gone. That's what an evening shadow is like, isn't it? We're just a puff of smoke. One moment we say we're there, and then we're just gone. But what does the psalmist say of the Lord? In Psalm 102 and verse 25, he says this: in the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. We think that these things are the lasting things, don't we? The mountains and the stars. But verse 26 says, these will perish. They will wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them and they will be discarded. But what does he say of the Lord? That you remain the same and your years will never end. And that's why that psalm will say that the Lord is enthroned forever, and why he can be relied upon to answer speedily when we call upon him. This was the perspective of the psalmist of when he wrote Psalm 33. In Psalm 33, he says this: our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his unfailing name. Because we trust in his unfailing love. Why can our hearts be so glad as we pass through the distress of these difficult days? Well, it is God's character, isn't it? His unwavering love and commitment to us, his people. So let me ask you the question this morning: where is your confidence? Is it in the Lord? If we return back into the Old Testament, into Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, in the book of Numbers, there's a story there about a king called Balak, and he sees this seemingly invincible nation coming towards him into his territory. And so he decides he's going to hire this rogue prophet called Balaam. And so he calls on Balaam to curse the people of Israel. He's hoping that he can turn God against them. He can change God's purposes. And so God deals with this prophet in amazing ways. He even enlists the help of a donkey to restrain the prophet's madness. And all this prophet can do, despite all these attempts to curse the people of God, is to bless them. So in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, the Lord speaks through this prophet to Balak. And he says this: God is not man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he not said, and will he not do it? Or has he not spoken, and will he not fulfill it? You see, God's commitment to his people is utterly unchanging. If we're honest, I think few of us would be able to say that we are consistent in everything that we do and say. So often we react in different ways depending on the circumstances that we find ourselves. As parents, we make promises to our kids, and then we find we can't keep them. We find it so hard to keep our promises when new situations arise, or maybe we're just having a bad day. Once we react with calm, but today we hit out with harshness and hurtful words. We change our positions, we change our opinions, our priorities, our moods, but God never changes his mind. He doesn't change his commitment to us. And this is such a great comfort, isn't it, to us? Such a great comfort to know that we who trust in the Lord, that God doesn't change. He doesn't have days off. One day we come to him and he's full of mercy, the next we come to him and he's burning with wrath. That's not what God is like. He doesn't say one thing and then do another. He doesn't make promises that he can't or won't keep. What he has said, he will do. He's the faithful God. And even though Israel, in this case, were unfaithful, complaining and rebellious, Israel gave the Lord so many reasons to change his mind towards them, to reduce and withdraw his kindness and grace. His faithful love to his people never changed. He would come through on his promises to bring them into the promised land. He doesn't change. He does what he says. It's the wonderful reality that Jude brings out in his short letter, in his wonderful doxology, when he says this to Christian believers: "Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy." In other words, what God has started, he'll complete. What God has started, he'll complete. Well, more about that later. But then thirdly, not only is God's commitment unchanging to us, but God remains unchangeably in control. And this is something that we need to get hold of, isn't it? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 has some words to speak to us here. But I wonder if you have got a sneaking suspicion that God has lost control. As this pandemic sweeps across the world, taking the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, sending governments into crisis, destabilizing the economy, do you ever wonder if God has left the control room and that we're at the mercy of COVID-19? Well, of course, if that is true, then what that means is that we can no longer be confident of his sovereign control of our individual lives either. But there it is in Revelation 1 verse 8. God says of himself, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And you see, you think about the context in which these words were spoken. They were spoken to the seven churches in Asia, many of whom were living through enormous persecution and acute suffering. Some of them were wondering if God had taken his hands off the wheel. They were wondering if it was the evil powers who were pulling the shots and God had let go. But what does God say? Whatever it might look like, "I am Almighty God. I remain in control of the universe. I created galaxies. I uphold the universe by the word of my power. I was there at the beginning. I will be there at the end. And I'll bring about my loving and glorious purposes." You see, if God were merely loving, but not in control of all things, it would be a truly scary universe, wouldn't it? But there is nothing outside of God's power and control. Nothing happens or can happen that God does not allow, and he continues to work all things together for the good of his people and for his glory. That's the precious truth that we as Christians cling to, that truth of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. In uncertain times, we can say this, "And I know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And so when we embrace the truth of God's sovereign control, that of course means that we have to relinquish our own control. And some of us find that hard, don't we? And yet it's as we embrace this truth that we find real peace and joy as we trust in God even in the midst of our suffering. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, "In him we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." God works all things according to his will. And that means, it has to mean, he controls everything. When he says all things, we might want to make exceptions, but there are no exceptions. Now, I'm not going to pretend that clinging to this truth is easy. It's hard, isn't it, sometimes, when your job is on the line, or when your business seems to be looking set to close, or when we can't see loved family members. At times we have to fight for this truth, to hold on to it, especially when we can't see it or we can't fathom out what God is doing. But perhaps that's one of the reasons why the Bible is so chock full of truths about God's sovereignty. But what does this mean for us? What does it mean for you if you're in lockdown, if your job is looking like it's about to disappear? What does it mean for you if your operation has been delayed as COVID-19 patients take priority? What does it mean for your fearful, trembling heart? Maybe as you wonder where all this is heading, what does it mean then? Well, it means this: because God is in control, because he's consistently active in the world, he's able to incorporate into his purposes and plans things that even we might assume are bad into an even greater plan for our good. And it's when we understand that truth that we are in a better position to face health and sickness and disappointment. Because every time our health is in danger or we become ill, we assume it can only be bad. But there are times, are there not, when other goods could be possible. The good of deepened communion with God. The good of a growing faith and a deepening trust in him. The Bible assures us that our unchanging God has the power and the intention to work out for our good even those things which can seem bad. And believing this is what changes us. But there's a fourth point I want to just draw out of this truth of our unchanging God, and it's this: God's unchanging commitment to save sinners and to keep his people secure. You see, God's unchanging nature is enormously significant when it comes to our salvation. Perhaps this COVID-19 crisis has shaken your faith in Christ. Maybe your overwhelming fears have raised questions in your mind about the authenticity of your salvation or his ability to keep you to the end, even as you face the possibility of death. You know, I love the assurance of Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, where it says this: because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to make intercession to intercede for them. So you see, what we see, first of all, is a great promise. Christ is able to save us forever. Do you remember what God said of himself in Exodus 34, the passage we read right at the beginning? Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. In his holiness and his unchanging wrath against sin, God should by rights pour out his punishment upon us as sinners. It's what we deserve, isn't it? But God has provided a way to save us forever. As we heard earlier, Jesus has died upon the cross so that we can be forgiven. He bore God's wrath. He defeated death by rising from the grave. And that means that we who have trusted in Jesus Christ have been fully, unchangeably forgiven. And we have received his favor forever. For us now, death has become a doorway into paradise. On the basis of Christ's once and for all sacrifice for sin, our unchanging God will never renounce our salvation. He'll never step back from his commitment to save us and to keep us saved. Christ is able to save us forever. And then secondly, we're told how this is made possible in that verse. It's because Christ always lives to make intercession for us. How can we be so sure? How can we be so sure that when the day of judgment comes, we will be welcomed into that eternal home? Well, our verse tells us, doesn't it? He's able to save us forever, since he always lives to make intercession. He always lives to pray for us. In other words, our future salvation rests upon the risen Christ's present and future prayers for us. He's pleading with us before his Father. He continually puts himself before us and his Father. As one writer puts it, he continually puts himself between the Father and us as an asbestos shield against his white hot anger against sin. He does. And who does Jesus eternally pray for? Who receives this eternal salvation? Well, it's those, verse 25, who draw near to God through Christ. It's those who have put their confidence in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is eternally the same yesterday, today, and forever. And can I ask you, have you done that? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Are you trusting in the one who died on the cross? Are you trusting in the one who gave up his life for you, who took your sin upon himself? You see, God's plan of salvation will never change. It's entirely made possible through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. There's no other way to be saved. God doesn't change the way that he saves us. He doesn't change the way that he saves us from his wrath that burns against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. It's here at the cross that repentant sinners are saved from God's wrath through faith by grace. Our unchanging God has made an unchanging provision for our eternal forgiveness. Praise his name. Our world is shaking. Massive changes are taking place, and much that lies ahead is uncertain and unknowable. But because our God is unchanging in his character, unchanging in his commitment to us, unchanging in his control and his commitment to save sinners, we can, with the hymn writer, say with confidence, we have an anchor. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Praise his name. Let's come to him, this unchangeable God, in prayer. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning that you are the God who never changes. We thank you that no matter what happens in this world, your character stays the same, consistent. Your commitment to us as your children never wavers. Your control over this world and therefore over our lives remains unchanging. And Father, we praise you from the bottom of our hearts that your commitment to save sinners never changes. That anyone who comes to you even today confessing their sin can be absolutely sure that you, the unchanging God, will forgive, and that we that you have saved, you will keep, no matter what happens. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.